Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. Welcome to our first episode of 2020. We hope you all had a spectacular new year and are praying that this year brings all the good. We are super excited to start our podcast journey with you all this year.
We're planning so many exciting things for this new year, and throughout it all, we really want you guys' input. It matters to us so much, and we take all of it into consideration, and most importantly, we want to thank you all for your support this far.
Because this is our first episode of 2020, we thought we would address a common question we have received. What is our overall vision for the podcast's future?
I feel like part of our vision is to create a place where young Muslims' voices are accurately represented, where people aren't speaking for us or telling us what we should believe or how we should believe it, but rather we're kind of bringing our voices and we're being unapologetic about our identities and sharing that with the world. So I really envision this podcast being a place where we have conversations that are necessary and valuable to our young Muslim population today.
And like Rawan said, the whole reason we created this podcast was to reach as many youth as possible. So in the past several months, Rawan and I have gained a better understanding of how podcasting works. So both of us feel like we are ready to step out of our comfort zone in bigger and better ways. So we hope to connect with more people, grow our platform, and start more conversations about uncomfortable topics. And we're really excited to see what this year brings.
So without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Today we're going to be changing things up a little bit. We're going to be talking to two very close friends of ours. One of them, Shahd, who is also my sister, and she runs our social media for Real Talk Real Muslims. And then also Bayan, who is one of our other really great friends. And we're going to talk about a wide range of topics. It's going to be more of like a coffee talk, chat, casual type of conversation episode. And we really want to test this out with you guys and see what you guys think about today's episode. So without further ado, let's introduce our guest. Bayan, do you want to get started?
Hi guys, my name is Bayan Abunijim and I go to the University of South Carolina. I'm a public health major on a pre-dental track.
And Shahd?
Hi guys, my name is Shahd and I'm a junior in high school.
So today we have two wonderful guests with us, and like we said, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. And also, before we begin, we want to plug Bayan and Shahd's Instagram. So Bayan has an awesome dental account where she talks about her journey as a pre-dental student, and the username for her account is
braceyourself.23.
So make sure to check her out on Instagram. And also, Shahd is very talented and creative at photography and at art. So she has two Instagram accounts. One of them is Painting for Purpose, and the other one is Shahd Abdul Adli Photography. We'll leave both all of the Instagrams in the description of this episode. So make sure to check them out. They're both very talented and very fun people to follow on Instagram. Okay, so how does everyone feel? We're going back to school very soon. I go back first. I go back this Sunday because I have training for work after the first few days. So our winter break is ending, everyone, and this is a sad moment for all of us.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. I kind of want to go back so I can graduate.
I really don't want to go back.
I'm ready to get back into routine, start having more responsibilities, but it's been a pretty chill winter break. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I literally have done nothing. Like, I made a to-do list at the beginning of winter break, and the to-do list is still in my backpack right behind me. Not a single thing is checked off, but that's okay. You know what? We all needed the break, especially from college and like school. And I feel like Shahd and Rand are a junior and senior respectively in high school, and me and Ben are in college. So all of us are at very not fun stages in school. Like, we all just have so much work to do. And I feel like we just really needed 100% break, no schoolwork for the past few weeks, which has been really nice.
Yeah, I didn't even know like what day it was or anything.
Yeah. you know how like when school is like, when there's school, you wake up and you're like, today is like February the 7th and it's 10:59 a.m. and I have class in 4 minutes. And then when it's like winter break, you wake up and you're like, I don't know what day.
Yeah,
it is.
I didn't know what today was. I was surprised that it was Friday.
But yeah, I feel like when we were younger, we used to always be like, oh, you know, when we're all in college and we're all in high school. And now me and Bayan are in college and Rand and Chad are almost in college. And every time I see you guys, I always think about how when we were younger, we used to always like talk about this like it was some far off, and now it's here.
And we thought about it like it would be so much fun, and we'd have so much fun, and we hardly get to see each other now. So
we're so naive.
Yeah. Also, guys, you know, when we were younger, like, I don't think we even like realized, but we had like a good squad when we were younger. Like, we were like a good Muslim
squad. It kind
of
broke off a little, but it's just like, I feel like only a few of us stuck to it, yeah, which is
oh
us.
Oh my God, I was thinking about that the past couple of days because I was really upset. And I was like, literally everything when we were younger would be like, oh, when we get older, we're going to do this. When we get older. But we never like actually were happy when, like, obviously we were happy, but like we were just like looking forward to everything in the future and never like were content with what we had in the present.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that happens like personally too, not just with, like, I'm always like, you know, when I graduate and I'm finally a dentist and I'm married and I'm like running my own practice and this, oh, I'm just so happy.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's like, no,
you're that's what I was saying yesterday. We were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah,
because you're gonna have problems at every stage of your life. It's just gonna be different and what you can like actually handle, you know?
Yeah, and you're honestly gonna like miss the problems that you used to have when you were younger. Like, I remember when I was in, like, during the school year, I'm like, oh my God, I wish, like, my biggest stress was, like, something, like, life-related, you know? Like, not school-related, but something just, like, life-related. But then when I'm on break and then something life-related does come up, I'm like, man, I wish my biggest stress was that I had an exam or I had a paper.
Yeah.
So I feel like every time you wish that your struggles were something different, when they do come, you want your old struggles back.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, always trying to like figure out like how to be happy like in the moment and not be like wishing your life away, because I feel like I do that a lot. It's like I wish my life away. I'm like, oh my God, I need this week to pass, I need this month to pass, I need this semester to pass, and that's like my life, you know?
And you know what, we would learn this in my human growth and development class. It's like when you ask old people about their life, they're like, oh yeah, my when I was young it was so great and blah blah blah. It wasn't really great, like they had a lot of hardships. It's just because now they're reflecting back on it and it's like compared to what they're going through now, it's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And they've become very grateful for the life that they had.
Yeah. I definitely think we had it easier, though, growing up, because we had, like, such a good Muslim friend group. And I think a lot of people, like, didn't have that necessarily. And, like, when we were growing up, like, we all used to go to the, like, our parents used to bring us to the masjid, like, every Friday night. And we would go to halaqah and we would, like, or we would just hang out or whatever. And we used to, like, do such weird things at the masjid. I remember... Do you guys remember when we were younger, we used to, there was this toy house outside the masjid, and we used to go in there, and we used to
spy on the house that was next to the masjid.
We used to literally, guys, we would be going to the masjid on a Friday night, and me and my sisters and all of us, we would, like, pack, like, legit... bring out a backpack and pack things.
Like snacks and stuff. So we had snacks while we were spying on the neighbors.
And we would pack like binoculars and like all these other things and walkie-talkies that didn't even work. And we would go sit in this playhouse outside of our masjid in pitch black. And we would pull out binoculars and we would like spy on the neighbors who literally were never... I don't even know what we were spying on.
Okay, guys, I didn't get to be a part of any of this. And Rowan the other day was telling me about some weird game you guys used to play at the masjid.
Mafia?
What was it? No.
The Sharks and Minnows.
Yeah, she was, like, demonstrating to me how the game was played. And I was like, I was never a part of this, okay? Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, you came in a little later.
Yeah, I came late.
Yeah, I hated Ren when we were little.
Thanks, guys.
I really did.
You know what? The
I wasn't
best
very
of
fond
friends...
of you either, Ben.
I
think
yeah,
we
that's
all...
why I didn't like you. And I knew you didn't like me.
What? At one point, we all hated each other.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The best friends are the ones you hate. If you hate someone, they're going to be your best
friend.
That's true.
If you like them, they're just going to be an acquaintance, you know?
Mm-hmm. If you don't think about them, then they're not going to be anything.
Wow, Ren, thank you for that profound,
yeah, I just let you know.
Profound statement right there. But yeah, regardless of how weird we were when we were younger and who came in later or not, but I feel like overall we had like a good experience because we had good Muslim friends. And honestly, there are a lot of people I know today that like... go to school with me or that I meet sometimes that like didn't have good Muslim friends when they're growing up, and like I feel like it really like isolates you from Islam, like and it's not like the fault of the person, it's just like the circumstances you grew up in and like the environment you grew up in, like not having good Muslim friends can really like just make you like feel disconnected. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
No, that's like, very true. Yeah,
like even when I went to college, I was, like, very picky with who I became friends with. Just because, you know, college is a very...
weird stage.
Yeah, and every... like, it's a bunch of teenagers who didn't have freedom. Finally,
yeah, it's
kind of
dangerous.
In the world. Yeah, so it can be, like, very easy to fall off track.
Yeah.
So, like, I was very picky with who I chose to be friends with. And I was able to, like, find people who respected my religion and who would, like, remind me of my own religion. Because, like, I have one friend... And one time we had a plan, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go pray, and then we're going to go do this, and then we're going to go eat. And, like, we were on our way, and I forgot that I had to pray. So I was, like, walking towards where we were going to go eat, and she's like, where are you going? I was like, we're going to go eat. She's like, didn't you say you had to pray? I was like, oh, my God, you're right. You know? Like, I forgot about that. So it's, like, very helpful to have good friends who are going to, like, remind you of your religion, even though they're not that religion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when we were younger, one of the best things, too, about having Muslim friends was that I felt like wearing the hijab was much easier. Because when me, Shahid, you're not part of this, but when me, Ben, and Rand were younger, when we were younger and we were, like, 11, 12, and we were, like, starting to wear hijab or whatever, like, no one in our community wore hijab. It was just the moms that wore hijab and then no one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I feel like
true.
It was super, like, it's hard to wear hijab in general. And then we're also living in America, and we also live in a very, like, conservative state, and it's, like, very not diverse. So you're not, it's not like you walk in the street and you see hijabis all the time. So when we started to wear hijab, like, there was no one that wore hijab. And I felt like, for me, just having, like, friends that also wore the hijab really helped me, because it wasn't like I was the only one, and it was just, like, me and the moms, like, hanging with our hijabs.
What was kind of hard was that me, Bae, and Rowan went to kind of, like, a conservative middle school. And so, like, everyone there was, like, really white and conservative and religious. And it was just kind of hard that we were there wearing hijab.
We were the only, like...
Yeah.
When I was in sixth grade, you were in eighth, and we were the only two hijabis.
Yeah. And I was there alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And, like, we were, like, the first people to ever wear hijab and go to that school. Like, that school was, like, super... Like, it's a good school, but it was just, like... super not diverse. Like, everyone there is, like, really, like, religious and, like, Christian, which there's nothing wrong with that, but, like, it's just hard to be, like, a Muslim girl wearing a hijab in the middle of all these, like,
and none of them really understood it or anything, and so it was just, like, really hard to make friends in middle school and stuff, especially for me.
Oh my God, especially because all the girls, every single girl wore a skirt.
Yeah,
every single guy wore pants, and I was the only girl who was wearing pants. It was so embarrassing.
We had a uniform, and the khaki pants were, like, huge. Like, they were boot cut, like, all the way, and they were so ugly.
Okay, our school's, the pants, they weren't even pants, guys. Like, imagine I have a big piece of cloth, right? Huge piece of cloth, and I cut out two rectangles, right? But I attached them at the top. That's what they were. Those were the pants. Like,
they were so ugly.
It was just, like, straight blocks of cloth.
Khaki
pants. Like, it wasn't like you were wearing, like, even, like, nice flared pants. It was just, like, the ugliest pants on the face of the earth. And, yeah, like Bayan said, the girls' uniform was a skirt, which is, like, a skirt with shorts under it. And if you didn't wear the skirt, you had to wear khaki pants, which me, Bayan, and Chad, and all of them, and they were the ugliest pants on the face of this earth.
The guys would avoid wearing them. They'd wear shorts.
I know. Even in the winter.
Yeah. Literally, it would be freezing cold outside, and people would still wear, like, the skirts and the shorts because the pants were that ugly. And we wore them all 3 years, and it was so, our uniform was so ugly. Like, it was just not...
Surprised anyone even talked to us.
I know.
Middle school was, like, the ugliest phase anyway.
And our hijab, like, styles were really bad in middle school.
I covered my eyebrows.
Like, we did.
Oh,
we had lift it all the way down. Yeah, me too. I did that.
I remember I didn't know how to wrap hijab, and Mama would, like, go and take all my other siblings to school, and then she'd come back for me. And I'd just be sitting in the bathroom for the whole like 1 hour she was gone, just trying to wrap my hijab, and then she'd have to come do it for me, so.
In high school, I played basketball for 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, and I was, like, the first hijabi to play a sport at our school.
Mm-hmm. Probably even in our community.
Yeah, like, I don't know anyone else who played a sport that wore hijab, so it was, like, very, like, I was very nervous to do it, but... some coach, like, convinced me to join the basketball team. And it was, like, very interesting because I had to work around the uniform. You know, like, they wore shorts and, like, shirts that weren't long sleeve. And so I had to, like, wear stuff underneath my uniform. And like they said, we live in a very conservative state. So when we went to play other schools, it was, like, very conservative schools. Like, very.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stares that I would get, like, people would be like, do you even ball? Like, what the heck? I'm like, no, like, I just come here to, like, watch. Yeah, I ball. Like, I'm wearing the freaking uniform. And it was a very good experience. Like, I'm so glad I played basketball. It helped me grow so much. But just kind of seeing how my teammates were very aware of what was, like, going on and, like, how people would look at me and, like, be surprised when I, like, scored. I could hear people, like, oh, my God, like, oh, my God, like, she did something, like, you know, it was, like, people had stereotypes, and they were probably shocked that my parents even let me join in the first place, which my parents aren't like that at all. My mom was very supportive, and she kind of pushed me to join, too. But, like, it was nice because my teammates always had my back, especially this one girl. She was, like, very, like, she was taller than me, and I'm pretty tall. She was, like, a lot bigger, so she was like, you just let me know if anyone says anything to you, I will beat them up for you. I'm like, okay, thank you. So that was, like, a very fun time for me. I'm glad. And if you're thinking about joining and you're scared of your hijab, or you're scared because you wear hijab, I would totally join. People are going to respect you. You just have to be confident, and then people are going to, like, respect the hijab for you and make it work. And, like, even one coach wanted me to play volleyball, and you know what they wear. And he was like, it's fine. You can wear basketball shorts. And I was just like, that's like, what I did. Was interesting how they were, like, working around. They weren't, they didn't see it as, oh, yeah, maybe you shouldn't play sports because of your hijab.
Yeah. I think building confidence is something that, when you wear hijab, like, you just kind of are forced to build your own confidence, like, because if you don't, it's almost kind of like you're not going to make it, which sounds weird and sounds bad, but it's just, like, if you don't build that confidence in yourself, like, you're not going to have the ability to keep wearing the hijab, mm-hmm. especially in America, because you're just not going to be able to, like, walk outside and look completely different from everyone else. And I feel like we all have to die, like, we had the experience of, like, being able to build that confidence, whether it be through basketball or through, like, doing internships and, like, wearing your hijab at your internship or whatever. And just, like, even, like, the tiny things, like, it just helped us build confidence so much. And I think that for younger Muslim girls, it really helps them to see that, you know?
Yeah.
Hijab really forces you to put yourself out there. Like, I know I'm always, like, the first to get noticed because I'm wearing hijab and no one else is. Especially my first week at college was, like, I was so sick of the environment. I was like, I made the worst decision of my life because I felt like people had never seen a hijab before. And it's, like, people coming from all over, like, states, like, from different states. So I feel like when I come to Greenville, I feel like I know these people. So I'm, like, walking around fine. But when I go back to USC, it's crazy because I feel like people have never seen a hijab before. And I feel like everyone was constantly staring at me. Like, I had lost all confidence. I'm not even kidding. And then the first week after college, I came back for, like, one of our YM meetings, and they talked, it was, like, crazy how the topic was about hijab and stuff. It just really helped me. Like, I took our talk and I, like, reflected and everything, and I went back the next week and I was, like, very confident. I was like, you know, if someone has a problem, they can come talk to me about it or something like that. And I was able to, like, rebuild my confidence just through the first semester of college.
Yeah,
it was, like, very interesting.
That's really
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, like, in every phase of your life, like, when you start something new, like, wearing the hijab, it's like starting all over again.
Yeah.
Like, it's always going to be, like, new and challenging, even if you've been wearing the hijab for so long. Like, all of us have been wearing the hijab for, like, how long has everyone been wearing the hijab?
I don't know.
I think 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, officially in 8th grade. Because I, like, wore it to middle school.
Yeah, I started wearing it in 6th grade.
Yeah. So, wait, so how many years?
Me, this is my 6th year.
Shahad, does your 6th year end?
Is my 6th year?
Yeah. Into the 6th year.
Wait, how's it our 6th year? We wore hijab before Shah.
Guys, you make me feel old.
No, Bayan didn't.
I'm in 8th grade officially wore it. So, like, that's 4 years.
When did you wear it?
6th. Bayan wore it when I wore it.
Okay, so I'm in my 7th year.
I'm in my 9th year.
Oh, no. No, you should have a huge party for your 10th
year. On my 10th hijabversary, we're going to have a huge party. Everyone is invited. And everyone has to wear hijab.
Right, it does not feel like it's been 6 years.
But you know what? I like look back at the times when I first started wearing it and like my fashion sense and like everything.
Oh,
and I
just felt so
like,
bad.
No, like when I first started wearing it, like we talked about this in one of our other episodes. When I first started wearing it, I didn't really understand like hijab that much.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was something that, you know, you didn't really have to care about your appearance. You were trying to hide your beauty so you could wear whatever you wanted and just be comfortable all the time. And like, you know, when my family would come over, I would wear like the prayer clothes and my mom would get mad at me. Like, you know, I just feel like the meaning of hijab for me has changed so much throughout the years, which has been like very amazing.
And I feel like it's going to continue to change. Like, I feel like when we grow up, get married, our meaning of hijab is going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like hijab like turned into like a statement for us, like about our appearance, our like our actions, like different things.
Like all of us have to do something else. Like I feel like all of us have this idea that we have to do something in our community because we are wearing hijab, you know? Mm-hmm. Like we need to show that Muslim women wearing hijab can do everything else other mm-hmm. people are doing, and that kind of like encourages us to do greater things.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm also glad that our sense of fashion changed too, because I think, if all of us need to share pictures of us before when we wore hijab when we were younger.
That is so embarrassing.
Guys, like the most embarrassing thing ever. I literally have a picture of me wearing hijab when I was in 7th grade, and I thought I was like so fly in the picture. Like I was like, I am bopping, and my dress was a chevron dress. My hijab was bright orange, and I like didn't know how to wrap it. And I have a super round face, so I used to wrap my hijab like in a way that accentuated my round face even more. And it's so bad. We need to share them on our Real Talk Real Muslims Instagram. But I just pulled up a picture of her when she wore hijab when she was little. Like
I look like a grandma.
Yeah, she's all blending in with the wall. She wore a white hijab.
Yeah,
and her shirt is white.
My shirt is white. And then it has a bunch of like splattered paint all over it, and I'm wearing a greenish yellow skirt.
I'm really
chubby, by the way.
We have to share the pictures. Guys, when I was a sophomore in high school, I went to this like conference thing, and I went and they took our headshots, and I was wearing a white hijab and the backdrop was white. And they posted the headshots on this website. And I think to this day you can still go on the website. And it's just my face, like a floating head, like literally just my floating, smiling face. And it's so embarrassing. But yeah, I think our hijab fashion has significantly improved. Alhamdulillah, I'm glad all of us have improved.
You know what? I remember like when I went to get my driver license picture, or when it was my permit, it was one of them. One of you guys told me not to wear a white hijab, so that didn't happen. So
that was me.
Yeah, you. So I wore a bright pink hijab, so I didn't blend in with it. Thank you, Dawan.
You're welcome. But yeah, when we were younger, I think we all had a fashion sense that was because we didn't have
but older. I feel like now we're all very like
even our sisters, again, they're more stylish than when we were.
Because
they see us. Wow.
Yeah, I know, like I was pretty bad in my fashion. Rowan was really bad, but like Mediam, I feel like she's always like our youngest.
Yeah, that's our youngest sister.
Yeah, she has good style.
She had always, like, she never had it as bad as we did.
Yeah.
Guys, sometimes I, like, look back at pictures and I'm like, Mama, how did you let me wear this? Like, why?
I know.
And then we were cleaning out my closet a couple weeks ago, and she pulls out this dress, and it's a quinceañera dress, okay? And it's purple, and it's so ugly. And I wore it to my cousin's wedding, and I was so upset that I was wearing hijab, because it was a mixed wedding, and I really, like, wanted to show my hair. So my mom was like, okay, Randi, you can get this dress, okay? So I wear this dress. The place that the wedding was at, it was really small, so me and the bride were kind of competing. Okay? My dress was really ugly, and my hijab, like, you know how they have a shawl? My mom wrapped that on my head. Like, guys, I look disgusting.
We're going to share, we have to share these pictures as part of the post for this episode, so watch for the Instagram, guys, for this. But also, there weren't, like, hijab fashion bloggers when we were, like, 9, 8, 7, 6 years
and
ago.
And we didn't even have social media.
Yeah, so there wasn't, like, you couldn't just, like, go on Instagram and, like, you know, look up your favorite fashion bloggers and just copy what they were wearing, because they didn't even have that. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't a thing. And now there's, like, so many Muslim girls, mashallah, that are, like, famous for fashion and for their makeup and their hijab styles. And you have, like, all of that you can, like, copy and
but
follow.
Even now, like, it's not like they have any for our ages when we wore hijab. Like, there's still older people that we can, like, look at their fashion sense now, but it wouldn't make sense for when we were younger.
Yeah.
And I remember when we first discovered, like, our favorite fashion blogger, would love Lena, if you're watching this.
Please come on our podcast.
She, like, going back through the posts, her style wasn't something I'd wear now. And that was like when we first discovered her. And we were like, oh my god, she has the best style ever. So I think everyone has
a shift.
Like a 180.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And now there's like so many companies and stuff too that are becoming like more inclusive of hijab and are starting to make things like the Nike hijab and like the Nike swimsuit.
Okay.
Well, I don't really agree with them. But
me either.
It's an $800 swimsuit.
Swimming.
And something that's not cute, guys.
It's not fashionable, and it's very,
Lyra
very overpriced.
Yeah.
Theirs are really cute.
Lyra swimsuits is really nice.
Yeah, so if anyone doesn't know, the Nike swimsuit, that, like, Nike's coming out with this, like, hijab swimsuit, which kind of looks like a bodysuit scuba diving thing, and it's going to retail for like $600. Guys. So I don't know who's going to buy it. Like, that's not extra money that I have lying around. If you do have extra money like that lying around, come talk to us because we want to know what your job is. But like, it's just ridiculous that these companies like are trying to be inclusive, but no one is going to buy it. Like, I don't know a single person in my life.
Probably that... only like those really rich people in like Dubai or like Dubai Saudi Arabia. Dubai has a
whole thing. They're not going to come buy it from
Nike. Yeah. No, I feel like just so they can have the Nike on it, they're going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And honestly, though, like Muslim brands, like Bayan was saying, like Lyra Swim, like, or I think that's what it's called, is like they make swimsuits for women that wear hijab that are so stylish and so cute because they know what we need. Like, they know what we want. They know how we want to look, and those companies are so much more inclusive, and I feel like we should be supporting like those companies. Like when Nike came out with their hijab, everyone was like, yay Nike. And like, there are all these other companies that came out with sports hijabs, like Muslim women that designed them, and no one like gave them that kind of like attention and support for it, you know?
It's because like sometimes you feel like the Muslim community is trying to be validated from outside sources, so when they finally are doing something for us, it's like, oh my god, look at them. But we're doing everything for us, and you know,
I mean, it's nice that Nike came out with a swimsuit for hijabis, because everyone always asks me, how do you go swimming? And it's so awkward trying to explain to them. So like, just like such a big brand, Nike bringing like shedding light to this topic, it kind of helps. I feel like people who didn't know, now they know how we go swimming. But I think swimming in general is just such a hard thing for hijabis. Like, even with all like these companies that we're talking about, I still find it so hard for me to go swimming.
Yeah, like, it's not that, like, the swimsuits are nice and everything, like, the, like, you'll find nice stuff to, like, swim in and go to the beach in, but, like, everyone just stares at you.
The stairs are awful.
And it's so awkward.
And they talk, and, like, they don't hide at all.
No, they can hear you. They think you don't, like, hear them. I don't know, but, like, I used to love swimming before I wore hijab, and, like, it was my favorite thing. And then I like stopped swimming because it's just uncomfortable. And this summer I went to the pool and there was this lady, guys, let me tell you, she was wearing a shower cap, okay? And she was so confident about her shower cap, and she was talking about me. Like, I'm sitting right beside her and she goes, oh my god, why is she wearing that? And I'm like, honey, I'm not wearing a shower cap.
Yeah. But you know what, I feel like even if we do get stares and stuff, I feel like we just should be confident ourselves going swimming or going or doing things like this, just because, like, you know, we're doing it for our own purpose. We want to, if you want to go swimming, go swimming. Like, you don't, don't, like, sit here and care about what everyone else is saying about you or looking at you.
That's definitely a goal. Like, a hijab-related goal for me. It's, like, to be more confident when I go swimming. And part of us, I still haven't found a swimsuit that I like on me. You know, finding the right swimsuit will help a lot.
Yeah, I think it's definitely such a struggle, just, like, in all aspects. And like, like learning to not care what people think, like we talked about this in one of our other episodes,
the last
like one. Like, we're just like all being honest here, like this is like a very like raw conversation we're having here, and like it's, you're not going to feel confident like 100% of the time, and like you would,
it takes time.
Like, ideally you're like, I don't care what other people think, but here we all are, we're like, like we care what people think about us when we go swimming or whatever. Like, it's not like perfect, like you're never just gonna like immediately 100% stop caring. Like, it's something you have to work on, but
and I think everyone struggles. Highs and lows. Like, sometimes you're gonna feel super confident and super like, I don't care what anyone thinks and I'm doing this for myself, and then you're gonna have to feel like, you're gonna feel very self-conscious, and it's just because we're also at this age, like we're all teenagers, and you know, we get self-conscious all the time.
And you know, we're girls, we have to look perfect all the time.
Yeah.
Even for swimming.
There's definitely just like the pressure of like being like not only like a girl, but also being Muslim and then also being Arab. There's
it's
just like
social, religious, and cultural expectations all the time.
There's like so many layers to it.
People who have it the easiest are like me and Rowan's youngest siblings. Like Mariam and Lana, they have a whole gang at school and they're all just hijabis. Like, I wish I had that.
It was hard in middle school, but now in high school I have a lot of hijabis at our school, so everyone's just like used to it and everyone's normal with it. So
yeah, we went to war for you guys, you know. us older people, we went to war for you guys, you know. We had to deal with like, you know, you got to be the first person to ask your parents for this. You got to be the first person to ask for that. You're the first person to do that. And then when you guys come along, you're like, oh, it's so hard.
Well,
it's
easy for you guys. Also feel like it's because there aren't a lot of people in your age group, but in like
that live here.
Not even in my age group, but like the one right below me, there's so many. And so it's,
But you know what? Even though you guys, like, I'm not siblings with any of you guys, I'm the oldest one in my family. like, if it's something okay with you guys' family or whatever, even if you guys are the first ones to do it, like, Bayan went to USC. My mom probably not let me go to USC. But now since we have, like, someone that's there, she'll let me. Rowan wants to study abroad. If I want to study abroad, my mom will let me because Rowan got to do it. So, like, even though you guys aren't my siblings, you guys still kind of have to do the same thing of the asking and doing and stuff like that.
We went to war for the whole community. We had to fight it all. But, yeah, I feel like even, I mean, especially with our parents, too, like, asking our parents for stuff and being, like, the older siblings and having to be the first to ask that was also just, like, such a huge step. If you have Arab parents or even if your parents are, like, just, like, strict parents, like, you know what that's like. It's, like, you got to hype yourself up before you go ask. And, you know, like, it's just
clean
such a...
Clean your room and, you know, start doing some good deeds that you never do and then ask.
It's such a hurdle to ask, like, especially Arab parents, like, today about stuff because they are not... Well, my parents, like, weren't raised in the U.S., and, you know, none of us have parents that were raised in the U.S., and so them coming here is already, like, such a unique experience for them. Like, they don't know, like, what certain things are like. They don't know what to expect, especially, like, once you start getting into college and stuff like that. That's where, like, I feel like they really just, like,
they really don't
have don't that much
understand,
experience.
Like, what we're going through or what, like, things that we need to do.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard for them to understand that, and it's hard for them to accept it or let us do stuff.
It's because we also don't understand what their point of view is. Yeah. We're always like, you know, our parents don't understand this, they don't understand that. But they probably have, like, a reason for everything that they're saying. It's just, like, we don't get it.
And it's just also sometimes their reasoning has to do with where they're from, and it doesn't have to do with where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of bring their culture into America, and so it's, like, kind of hard for them to balance out our lives and their lives.
Yeah,
I agree, but going to college definitely opened my eyes more to, like, their point of view. Because just seeing how these people live, especially, oh my god, parents weekend, where the parents came and, like, spent the weekend with kids. You know how kids go out and party? Their parents were with them. There were videos circulating, like, around the internet, and it's like parents with their kids and just, like, going crazy, and I was like, well, thank god that we had strict parents growing up. And, like,
I would
never see my parents doing something like that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like also, well, me and Bayan both, like, live, like, in, like, on campus, like, at our schools. And in Arab, like, culture slash, like, Muslim culture, like, that's, like, a big kind of hurdle is, like, asking your parents to move away for college, especially for, like, girls. Like, it's just, like, not very common. And I know that, like, when we were younger, we used to always, like, stress about it. We were like, oh, what are we gonna do when we go to college? We're like, we don't want to go to Furman, which is, like, the school that's, like, close enough to all of our houses.
It's,
where,
like,
we wouldn't we wouldn't have
to live on campus.
There and we would have basically no excuse or justification to, like, live there unless it was just, like, free for us to live there. But like, going to college and stuff too, like, I remember, like, it was like it's hard to be the first, you know, person in your family who is, like, a girl who wants to go to college in, like, a culture where it's not very, like, you know, looked upon well, or common for you to, like, move away to college. And it's hard to be, like, the person to, like, do that and to ask. And I think that, like, navigating that experience is, like, very challenging in general, and a lot of, like, Muslim girls go through that today. Even, like, you know, if there's, like, opinions that say, like, it's Islamically permissible and stuff like that, like, it's still just, like, culturally very taboo. I think even having, like, the conversation about moving away for college can be very intimidating, especially if you're an Arab girl, like, you'll know the struggle. But, I mean, it's doable. So if you're listening to this and you haven't gone to college yet and you want to move away for college, like, it's doable. Mm-hmm. Even if you think your parents are the last people on earth to agree to it, I know that's what I thought, but I ended up moving away for college. Bayan, how did you talk to your parents about it?
Yeah, mine, I honestly didn't know where I wanted to go to college, and then I applied to the school I go to now on the last day possible, and so I wasn't expecting to get, like, my decision back until, like, March, but I ended up getting it back in, like, 2 weeks, like, after I applied. And so when it came in the mail, I was in my room, my little sister just gave it to me, and I was like, oh my god, this is, like, an acceptance letter. And so, like, I, like, went and showed my mom. She's like, yeah, good job, you know. And, like, USC is, like, 2 hours away from my house, so they weren't, like, too fond of it. And then my dad was like, okay, let's just see where else you get accepted. And they were like, they wanted me to go either to Furman, which is the one that's, like, really close to our house, or Clemson, where Rowan goes, just because my brother goes there and it's, like, a little bit closer than USC. So, and, like, you know, fast forward, I finally had to make a decision. I had my brother help me convince my parents. I'm like, if you have an older brother, definitely do that. get your brother to help, because I don't know, they just listen to older brothers. And so he was like, you know, convincing my dad that USC was the best decision for me. And also it did help me that like USC was helping me financially more than any other school. So that kind of helped convince my parents as well.
Yeah, I think too, like growing up, like I thought, like my parents are pretty like on the stricter side, I think. And growing up, I was like, oh, they're never going to agree to this. Like there's no way. But honestly, when it comes down to it, I think the best like piece of advice is like work hard and like don't leave any room for excuses. Like if there are excuses that your parents can pull, like, oh, like you want to go move away for the school, but it's really, really expensive, then you're not going to have an argument. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you work really hard and you leave no room for excuses and you leave, you're like, well, I figured out all these things, then that will be your best bet. Like for me, like I knew my parents were already going to like be like, no, like we want you to like stay close to home. And like the school I go to is like an hour and 15 minutes from my house. So like you can make the argument that you can commute, and several people I know like commute. But I remember that like I was like, I'm going to work really hard and I'm going to like get a scholarship and I'm going to try my best to make it like financially feasible for my family for me to go to college and to live there. And so that way when it came time to it, when I was talking to my parents, I was like, well, it's not going to cost you like money, and you know, it's not like a financial burden, and you know, I kind of like built up my argument that way. So at least like in my mind, I feel like that's like a good way to go about it. I don't know if you guys have other things you want to add.
Yeah, make sure your parents are aware of how hardworking you are, because that helped me. Like my parents knew what my goals were, and they saw that I was actually putting in the work in high school, so they were like confident that I was gonna move away for the right reasons and not just because I wanted to get away from home. So that would help too.
Yeah, and if you need backup, like you need, you know, other people to support you, like even look for like family members, like Spayan said, her brother, or like aunts and uncles, or even family friends to like back you up and just like demonstrate that like there's people that are gonna support you like along the way. And I promise you, it's gonna be so worth it. And even if you decide to stay at home, like for financial reasons or personal reasons, or you just don't want to, like that's totally fine too. Like everyone's experience is different in college. Yeah. But if you are considering living on campus, I would say really like fight for it and really advocate for it if it's something that your family isn't like super open to. And I think you'll find that in the end, it's something that's very worth doing.
You're just going to have to be very patient with your parents. They're going to, like, this is new to them. You have to remember that. And they're going to be asking, like, a lot of questions that might seem repetitive or, like the answer is obvious. But, you know, I was telling them how, like, going to a four-year university would help me because I had, gave me the opportunity to build a relationship with my staff, which later I'm going to need letter of recommendations. And it gives me more opportunities rather than going to a two-year community college and then transferring.
Yeah.
But what I did realize is everyone's case is different. So if like going to a community college is better for you, then, you know, then you can do that. But for me, in my case, that was what was best for me. And I had to like show that to my parents.
Like, but do you guys feel like you've started life like actually?
Yeah.
When we went to college, you mean?
Yeah. No, I mean from the beginning, like, I feel like middle school, high school, that's like you actually started from middle school, especially if you were taking like classes that were gonna like impact your future or like your high school GPA or like, you know, anything like that. I mean, it started from wherever you wanted it to start and wherever you put the most effort in.
Oh, well, I'm thinking like, I don't know, for me right now, like, it's all seeming very real, you know? Like, you're kind of picking what you want to do, and you're going to stick to it for the rest of your life. Like, that's your plan. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's all getting more serious, and it's kind of scary, and I feel like I'm starting my life now, even though, like, all the classes that we took before, they're just, you have to take them, but now you're going to choose what you want to take and stuff like that, and I feel like it's really scary. So, like, how did you guys kind of go about that?
I mean, I'm not in college yet, but, like, you can also, like, remember, like, this isn't your final decision.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Have a lot of time still. Like, even when you're in college, you can halfway through, if you want to change, you can.
Yeah.
So.
But I just feel like it seems like so much more real and more serious than when you're in high school and middle school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, my first year of college, like, it didn't really hit me. Mm-hmm. I think in my second year of college, it definitely hit me. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is, like, real. And, like, you know, this is, like, legit when you're picking things that are going to determine the rest of your life. You're picking your career, your grades are super, super important. Like, it's not everything, obviously, but your grades are really important.
Yeah.
I think my first year of college, I didn't really, like, process, like, all of that. And it was, like, because it was so new. Like, I was, like, oh, my God. like, how do you do laundry? And I was like trying to like figure out all the other tiny things. But then once you get into the swing of things, I think I started to realize it. And it's definitely scary, but also sometimes I feel like I'm like, yeah, like I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm doing all these things. But sometimes when I like look back, I'm like, wow, like I actually did that. I'm like, that happened. Like, I remember, you know, when I tell people, I'm like, oh yeah, like I studied abroad. Like, I'm like, I can't believe that happened. You know, like, it's like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, yeah. It's kind of like a fever dream almost. Like, yeah. You're like, is it real? Did it really happen? So that's kind of how I feel about it now. Mm-hmm. And also every time I think about how fast everything is moving, it scares me. So I try not to think about it, but
yeah. I've only done a semester of college, but like I've grown so much just from like one semester. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for like the next 4 years.
Do you guys have any advice for young Muslims or young Muslim girls or anything you wish you would have known as a young Muslim?
Choose your friends wisely.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I wish we had become friends earlier. Well, we were friends for a good amount of our time, but
I feel like the prime years we were friends.
Yeah, like when I first started high school, my first 2 years, we weren't friends like that. And I just wish we were, because everything would have been so different, you know?
Yeah.
Your friends have like a huge impact on you. So try to be friends with the right people that are going to push you in the direction you want to be in. Like, I can confidently say my friends have brought me closer to my religion, which is a really good thing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me three. Alhamdulillah. Me four. I would say, like,
good talk.
Say anything.
Good talk, bro. Good talk.
Wait, let me think.
Y'all can do ASMR.
Man, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah. No, do it, do it, do it.
Do what?
ASMR.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd probably say, like, make sure you look to your own needs and, like, not to be selfish or anything, but you should always make sure you're addressing yourself and the things that you need in life before you try to, like, meet other people's expectations. Like, don't try to meet the Arab community's expectations before you meet your own.
Mm-hmm. The
don't
Arab try community to meet, is always going to talk about you.
Yeah,
so.
Like, don't try to meet anyone else's expectations or anything before you're confident in your own expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think we talked about this in the other episode, too, and it's just, like, being happy with who you are before trying to please other people and being, like, trying to become the person that they want you to be, you know? Yeah. Like, if you're going to have good friends and you're going to have a good relationship with your family members, you're going to have to be happy with who you are before trying to, like, build relationships with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish that when I was younger, also, I would have, like, just known that, like, one of the most important things in life is to work on yourself. Like,
yeah.
There's, it's so hard for me to, like, put this into words, but just, like, the idea of, like, learning about who you are as, like, a person and spending time with yourself and, like, just, like, all the, like, introspection, you know, and all that good stuff. Like, just, like, really thinking about what kind of person you are, what your beliefs are, and, like, not being afraid to be your own self. Mm-hmm. If that means wearing hijab, then wear hijab. If that means traveling, then travel. If that means studying a certain thing, then study it. But, like, just know yourself and know what you want. And I think that when I was younger, I, like, kept thinking, like, oh, what do people want me to be? What do people expect me to be? And then I was trying to, like, follow that. But in reality, like, there are so many things that, like, I like that no one around me likes. I'm like, oh, like, my friends don't like this. My family doesn't like it. But, like, I'm still going to do it because I know that that's right for me. And I wish that I would have, like, known that when I was younger.
I feel like it's just not, like,
seriously, Shad?
What?
Then start over.
I feel like it's not,
I can't drink.
No. Drink, Shad. Go.
Done? Okay, then.
I feel like it's because when we were younger, it's not, like, people tell you, oh, think about who you are, think about yourself. Like, it's always, like, thinking or taking time for yourself is you being selfish. So I think that's why it's so hard for us sometimes to do that. And, like, now that we're all realizing that we should do that, it's like, you know, am I hurting this person in front of me, or am I hurting this person, or should I be doing this, or should I be doing that? And you're not actually okay. Mm-hmm. You don't feel 100% okay taking that time for yourself.
Yeah.
College definitely will give you so much time to do that. Like, I remember Halloween night, everyone was out, everyone, and obviously I wasn't gonna go out anywhere, so, like, I had that whole night just to myself, and I liked it, you know. It's like, you have so much free time just to really figure out what you like to do in your free time, who you are as a person, just like Noam was saying. So, college.
Going off of what Bayan said, how she, like, everyone was out and she wasn't, that also goes back to saying, like, find your own identity and don't be, like, don't force yourself to follow the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. She was herself. She did what she needed to do at that time. And she didn't follow what everyone else was doing, even if her friends were doing it.
Like, but, I was literally helping my friends get ready. Because they were, like, boxed themselves, like, wrapping the thing on their hands. And then, like, we both left. And I went to my dorm room, and then they went to the party. So it's, like, it's crazy how easy it is for like, someone to fall off track.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes back to having good friends, you know?
And you know what? Just remember this. If your friends are good, they're going to understand you taking time for yourself or doing whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I didn't learn that until, like, this summer. Yeah. I didn't know, like, I didn't think that was okay, you know? Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah. I think also, like, knowing that, like, your friends are going to influence you a lot, but, like, you can all be, like, different individual people, especially with girls. Like, girls, like, tend to think that they have to be just like their friends or, like, you have to do the same things or whatever, but, like, that's not how it is. Like, we're all, like, very different people. We have, like, different lives. Like, we don't even get to see each other that much during the year, but, like, when we do, we always have a good time. We hang out and stuff like that, but, like, when we go back to, like, our own lives or whatever, like, we all do such different things every day, and, like, that's okay. Like, your friends can be people from different backgrounds and have completely different lives than you, and you can just, like, be connected over, like, common ideas or common interests, or even just, like, over, like, enjoying each other's company. That can be something that connects you all. But I think recognizing that your friends influence you, yes, but the importance of, like, having that, like, unique identity and knowing what makes you yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we talked about a lot today. Like,
we
talked about hijab. We talked about the importance of having good Muslim friends. We talked about our experiences as young Muslims. We talked about school and college a lot and moving away. We talked about parents and parental pressure, dealing with cultural expectations, especially all of us being Arab girls. And finally, we wrapped up by talking about advice for young Muslims and young girls. So thank you to Bayan and Shahd for being our wonderful guests and for joining in on our conversations and, you know, taking us to talk about all these really important things and giving us your awesome insight and your awesome advice. We really enjoyed having you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if you guys enjoyed this episode, then please make sure to give it a review or give us a like on Instagram. And also make sure to check out Bayan's dental account and Shahd's photography and art account. We will link them in the descriptions of this episode. And also keep an eye out for our hijab pictures from a long time ago. We will post our before and after pictures of us when we were younger wearing hijab, just purely for everyone's enjoyment, so you can make fun of all of us. So if you enjoyed this episode, remember to follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share this episode with your friends. Subscribe to our podcast so you can get updated every time we release a new episode. And give us any feedback by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or any other platform that you guys listen to us on.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye!